You are now listening to LFL Talk with Adri and Marcus.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new season on LFL Talk. We are just around the corner from the 2015 LFL US season, so we are back on your airwaves. I am Adri Mallows. Joining me, as always, is my ever-present, ever-awesome co-host, Mr. Marcus Henson. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, thank you.
How you been since our last podcast, buddy? It's been quite a while since we last recorded an LFL Talk.
Oh, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time coming. How you been keeping?
Been keeping very busy, as I always do.
You'll be pleased to know, as it's a pre-season special edition of LFL Talk, we do have a special guest joining us later in the podcast. I wonder if anyone may be able to guess who that is, but no hints, Marcus. Why are you order?
My lips are sealed.
Exactly. So we have that for you. We have some news and our thoughts on this upcoming season. So with that said, Mr. Henson, shall we crack on with some LFL news?
Let's go.
Here is the news.
So we start off with probably the biggest news to affect the league this year, and that is that it has been reduced to six teams. So we will have three teams in the Eastern Conference, three teams in the Western Conference. Now, the teams that will not be taking part this year are the Jacksonville Breeze, Toledo Crush, Baltimore Charm, and Green Bay Chill. Some of them have been suspended, so just to fill you in on the news there, the Charm are looking to come back next season in 2016, but will be in a new home, either in Washington, D.C. or Maryland. Jacksonville will be coming back to us also in 2016 in another Florida market, so we wait to see where they come up. Maybe they'll move back to Tampa, who knows? Toledo are looking to come back in 2017 in a new home in Ohio. And for the moment, and this is quite surprising, I found, Green Bay Chill, their operations have been suspended while they undergo a full overhaul of that franchise. So what do you make of that news, Marcus? Those four teams not going to be taking part in this season.
It's always a shame when teams pull out of the league itself. It's one of those ones where you say, you know, long term, it's probably going to be beneficial, you know, put some foundations in, you know, relay the groundwork. And so maybe they come back 2016, there's a lot of these teams coming back. So you know what? Could be a really good year.
Absolutely. And not only do we have the teams coming back, but we also know that there's going to be a franchise in New England. And also we see the return of the Dallas Desire in 2016 as well. So things looking up very promising, as you say, for next season. So give them time to rebuild, get their tryouts done and come back stronger than ever before. Now, I was mentioning there that we have a six team split into two conferences, the Eastern and the Western. So the way it's going to work is that the Western Conference will still be Seattle, Las Vegas, Sin, and the Los Angeles Temptation. And that means that the Chicago Bliss are going to move back to the Eastern Conference to take on Omaha and Atlanta. So again, with that sort of rejigging of the conferences there, Marcus, what are your initial thoughts on that?
The league has come up with an amazing new mantra this year, which just sort of sums it up. There's less teams, but you know what? We're going to put out more games, create more rivalries. I love it!
I bet your mouth is watering at the prospect of three Atlanta versus Chicago games this year.
Oh, I mean, everyone loves it when you have that sort of championship rematch. Three times over in a year? Oh, it's going to be a doozy.
If you add to that some more news, which I'm going to bring in just now, it seems like the best place to do it. And that is the reinforcements, if we can call them that, that Atlanta are going to be bringing in from Jacksonville for this season. They will be having Adrian Pennell, Lauren Ziegler, and Dana Wojcicki. They're all going to be joining the Atlanta Steam franchise this season.
They are some serious key additions. I mean, it's like, wow. How good is the whole Breeze taking a year out going to be for Atlanta? There's some serious, serious like veteran potential just like dropping in on their team there.
Yeah, there's some serious veterans, some serious defenders there in Ziegler and Pennell. But I guess we have to ask the most obvious of questions. Can they stop the Ferrari?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got three chances to do it this year. I mean, what I really like is the fact is that Dakota Hughes getting Lauren Ziegler as a really good target there. I mean, you put that alongside Jody Nettles, and I'm like, wow, there's going to be some serious points scored. record this year.
Well, yeah, you say that, but obviously we know how great the Bliss defense is, and they've got to play them three times this year. And also you've got the Omaha defense, where, again, they're not exactly a sloppy defense, are they, with the players they've got, with Jacqueline Smith and with Teresa Petrozulio. So they're not going to be a pushover either. So if they think that these new additions are just going to help them walk over Omaha, I'm not so sure that's going to happen myself.
No, I think what's going to happen is with the condensing of the teams, what you'll do is you'll start having a lot closer, like tighter games, because what it'll be is the teams will start slowly. Maybe the first game, there's a little bit of like a couple blowout one side, but you know what? You get to that third matchup. Woo, you know what? They're going to get into each other's heads. They're going to start to understand what each other can do. And it's going to get so close that it's going to be nail bites from start to finish. And that's, ah, can't wait.
Yeah, I bet. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to leave that there so we can maybe come back to that later in the show. Now, more news. Both Los Angeles Temptation and Chicago Bliss are going to have new homes for / old homes for the 2015 season, because Los Angeles Temptation are going to be going back to the Coliseum and be playing their games outdoors, which for me, you know how I feel about the playing this sport outdoors. I think makes it gives the players a lot more freedom. We'll see some really hard hits. You don't have to worry about the walls being there. We'll see some fantastic toe dragging catches, hopefully, especially when you see the likes of Cynthia Schmidt in the Coliseum when she plays against the Temptation for the Sin. Yeah, for me, it's going to be fantastic. And also Chicago moving back to Toyota Park, which is where the Chicago Fire also play. They're a Major League Soccer team, and I hate using the word soccer. I'm sure you can appreciate. But again, two massive venues for the LFL to be playing in this year.
Like you say, the Coliseum, I mean, it's just such a great venue, such a great atmosphere. You know, you can create that, you can make that your own. And you see how dedicated the Los Angeles Temptation fans are. So they're going to make that into the whole new sort of like fan zone. It's going to be amazing to just watch as it's slowly developing. And then, like you say, I love how grating was it to try and say soccer. I mean, I can just imagine the look on your face.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't best pleased about that one, but, you know, that's what the league's called, so that's what we have to roll with, unfortunately. Why they could, you know, you can't just call it Major League Football, because people would get very, very confused.
Yeah, I can imagine. But, yeah, again, it's just like, when you start linking like clubs together, hopefully, you know, that multi-club purpose when you're sharing stadiums, it gives more definition and sort of longevity to sort of franchises sticking together as you have this multi-revenue sort of purpose. And hopefully it bonds the sport to a set home where they can, like you say, last out a franchise and really build and develop on it.
With Los Angeles, there's other news as well for that franchise. Seems to be having quite a bit this season or this off season. We see the return of Coach Bishop and Coach Tui to take over the Temptation and see if they can win a fourth championship.
Whoa, you got to love it. When you have a sort of coach of that stature, just drop back in and it's like the second coming, as it were, in the league. You know, it's going to be, I think, two things. It's going to be either the best move ever and it's going to just blow the league wide open, or it's just going to flop on itself and it's going to be like a whack, whack, oops for the Temptation. I firmly believe that it's going to just like smash this league wide open.
With that said, Eddie Chan has moved into a more official role and he's going to be the head of officiating. So that's where the gap appeared in the Temptation locker room there. Of course, that does now mean that we're going to be looking to see a new coach for the Las Vegas Sin. So it'll be interesting to see who they get to take over them, especially with all of the rookie talent they've got on that roster.
If you're a half-decent coach, picking up a team with that many caliber players, you've got a recipe for success there. And all you really need is a good chef to just whip it up. can you tell I'm hungry?
All these food references. Now, so I say, I'm just going to quickly correct myself. I said rookies, but they were rookies last year, so entering their sophomore year this year. Other things to note, there's a big rule change, and that is that teams on fourth down within their own 10-yard line are now going to be able to punt rather than having to turn the ball over and give the opposition an easy chance of scoring. So that, again, should make the games a lot more competitive, I feel.
With the rule change, love it, because, you know, it's just so hard when you're like stuck deep in your own end zone and you just know that fourth down, you're trying to just get out there. I mean, the punt system works, and I think especially when you get it outside in like the Coliseum, like the Temptation, yeah, that'll be interesting, very interesting.
Other news, more merchandise-wise, I suppose, really, is the LFL limited edition fifth season bobbleheads are now on sale. So they look quite interesting. We also, this spring, will see the release of the first ever LFL DVD, which if you're wanting to know what to get me for my birthday or Christmas, Marcus, if I've not got it beforehand, that will be the one to get me, sir. Just a little hint there.
Oh, subtle.
Very, very brick-through window job, wasn't it, really? And the last thing I have myself is that the LFL has entered into partnership with VetTix, who organise tickets for family members of those who have been killed in action. So that is another great step forward and big thing the league is going to do this year. And great to see the appreciation for the armed forces and their families. But just to finish off the news, the last piece of news is there's also going to be a mobile app which is going to be released so that fans can track the games on their phone if they're not able to watch it on TV at the time. So again, another big step forward, connecting the league to its fans.
Absolutely. I mean, we've always had that chance when we're just sitting there going, oh, I can't catch it. Got to get to a computer or something like that. No, it's bang, on my phone, I can watch it. Easy.
And that wraps it up for the news. So apologies there. There's quite a lot of news to cover, as I say, since our last podcast at the back end of last year. So lots of news to cover there. Yeah. So with that, we end the news.
This is a producer speaking. I have an additional piece of news that is due to renovations at the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Sin will be playing their home games this season at the Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario, California. Thank you.
Hi, this is Tony from Delicious in Hemel. If you like a bit of banter with your sandwiches, then come on down to us. We do baguettes, ciabattas, paninis. We can even discuss the LFL with you. So why don't you come and give us a try? And if you want some more details of our menu, see the links on the Legends Lounge page.
It's time now for our special guest. And boy, do we have a perler for you. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming onto the show wide receiver and safety for the defending champion Chicago Bliss, Ali Alberts. Welcome to the show, Ali.
Hello, thank you.
So this is your third year in the LFL, but I was wondering if you could please describe to our listeners what you were doing prior to joining the league and what it was that inspired you to join and start playing in the LFL.
Sure. So, you know, in college, I played volleyball and track. So I'd always played sports my whole life. And then after college, I went to dental school. And in dental school, there is no sports league to play in. So I was just playing in these rec leagues with guys like co-ed flag football and stuff. And I ended up seeing one of the games on MTV2, which is what I was playing on a Friday night. And I watched the game and I was like, oh my God, like, I love this. I should so be out there. Like, I'm better than those girls. I look better in the uniform than those girls. I need to be on this team. So once I saw that show, it was done. I knew I was going to like try out the next year.
Excellent. So if I'm just going to go back to your first year in the league. Now, I would say that you had quite a few highs and lows during the course of the year, including the infamous wow clip and the hit from Ashley Solano. And I apologize for mentioning that. But I think a lot of people should remember the highs as well, that you went on to win Rookie of the Year that year and also the Legends Cup. What was the range of emotions that you must have gone through in that first year? And what was the experience like?
I think that first game was really, I mean, it was not that warm of a welcome, but I loved it. It was like, this is how hard the league is going to be. This is going to be awesome. Like, I'm going to come back just as hard. So I don't mind people mentioning it at all, because like, that is how you get introduced to this league. You play a game and you're getting knocked on your ass. Like, that happens. And they were the defending champs. You know, no one thought that they could ever be beat at that time. And at that time, we didn't even know if we were going to win a game that season after we lost to them. So I just remember losing that game and then winning the next Vegas game and being like, whoa, this is what it feels like to win. Like, this is so awesome. I want this feeling again. How do I get this feeling again? So like, from the Vegas game on, even right after the LA, I think the amount of time we put into film study and practicing was intense. Like, I was so into winning that I watched everybody's games like a ridiculous amount of times. That's just how much I wanted to win. So going from that first loss and then going all the way to the victory was like incredible that happened all in one season. And I mean, I learned so much that season. I knew I was hooked. From then on, I knew I wouldn't be able to stop playing.
So people also may not know that the league itself, I think, is still classed as an amateur sport at the moment. So it means a lot of players like yourself have to maintain a full-time career at the same time as staying in shape and being physically ready to play the game. Can you maybe describe what a typical week would be like for you and what that juggling act is like, trying to balance the two?
Yeah, like, so we all do it because we love it, because we don't get paid to do it. So everyone looks at us like, you're insane. Why are you doing this? This could totally derail your career. You could break your arm, your hand, whatever. You could be totally screwed. So just that mindset is something all the girls take on. So just in a normal week, you know, we all have regular 9-to-5 jobs or whatnot. So all of our practices are going to be late night. They're usually, this year, they're 9 to 11:30. They used to be 8:30 to 11:30. And we kind of just get field time whenever we can, which is generally late at night. So, you know, you go through your full day and you're exhausted and you get home and you immediately get back in the car and drive to practice. At the time, right before practice, you know, right before you get in the car to drive, you're like, oh my God, do I really have to drive to practice right now? I'm so exhausted. But by the time you get to practice and see all the girls and have a good practice, it's like, oh my God, I'm so glad I went to practice. That was so much fun. I love doing this. So there is kind of a mental hump that you have to get over in between those two. But, you know, in college, like I said, I played two sports. So it was very similar where it was like, study, go to class, go back and study, go to class. You know, it was on the go all the time. So as long as you're good at time management, you can totally do it. But, you know, it's not a tiny commitment. It's a very large commitment if you want to win.
And thinking of that, actually, I want to come on now to your second season. So last year, to myself and Marcus, my co-host on the show, we did seem to notice that you seemed to be playing with a lot more intensity and aggression, and wondered if that was something that you'd decided to do before the year, if that was just kind of a byproduct of it being your second season in the league.
Yeah, no, I think it was just a byproduct of being my second season. You know, your rookie season, you don't want to step on anybody's toes. You don't want to take a leadership role if that role is already taken. And I just felt much more confident in what I was doing and the plays that were being called. And even towards the end of my first year, I think I started to get that confidence and that leadership. But then second year, definitely as a veteran, I felt like I needed to be that person to step up, and I love doing it. Like, I love being in that leadership role and that intensity role to get everyone jacked up if they're not doing what they need to be doing. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be this way this year. It's like, that's actually just how I play sports. And your first year for me is always kind of tiptoeing around the vets and seeing where you fit in. And second year, it's like, okay, this is me. So either take it or leave it.
And also last year, there was a couple of chances where there were some option plays where you got to show off what you have as quite a cannon of an arm throwing the ball downfield. Now, a bit of a cheeky question, but is that you almost auditioning for Keith Hack to take over Heather's role when she does retire?
If she ever left, I would take it over. But if she's here, I would never want to take it over. So
of course,
I do love throwing the ball. Like I said, I ran track, so I threw javelin. So like, I can throw it. Sometimes it's not very accurate, so I have to work on that. But yeah, like, I, even this year, I want to be backup quarterback. Last year, we didn't even have a backup quarterback. Like, legit, nobody practiced at that position. I was like, Hack, if Heather goes down, we're screwed. Like, nobody knows how to call the plays. Nobody knows how to do this. You need to let me practice this position just in case, because no one else is available. So I want to be there really just for the team, because if she does go down and she, or she twists an ankle, or like, you could, anything could happen in the game where you can't play anymore. So if that happens, I want to be there for that. If she ever leaves, which I hope she doesn't, because I love playing with her. But if she ever does, I would definitely try to take it over.
Fair play. And thinking of Coach Hack, actually, what's it like to play under him? Because on the sidelines, he gets very emotional and very intense. But at the same time, you can see the football brain working overtime. But so what's that like to play for a coach that intense and that knowledgeable?
This is actually the first time I've ever played for a coach that intense, who actually like yells and gets crazy at his players. But I think once you get to know him and know that like you know, it's not about you. He's not yelling at you. Like, that is how he coaches. If you screw up, you deserve to get yelled at. So, like, if I fuck up, yell at me. Like, I deserve to be yelled at. So I don't feel like he ever plays favorites in that manner. Like, if you're doing something dumb, he's going to yell at you. I mean, if I think he's doing something dumb, like, I'll yell at him. So, like, we have kind of a head-to-head combat once in a while where I'm like, no, Hack, that's fucking stupid. We're not doing that. And he'll be like, I've coached this many years. Shut up, Allie. Get back out there, you know? So I think we have a really good camaraderie there. But I personally love playing for him. I've learned so much football from him. You know, he treats us as if we were his guys out there playing. And I think that's what I respect. If you're going to treat me like a football player, treat me like a football player. Don't treat me like a girl that's playing football. So from that perspective, I actually really like the way that he coaches.
And you mentioned there actually about having the occasional bust up. And I think, I can't remember if it was the penultimate game or actually the Legends Cup itself, but there was at one point, I think it might have been the Legends Cup, where he just told you to sit on the bench and just stay there. I don't know what was said at the time.
I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but at the very end of the Legends Cup game, you know, we were winning and all we needed to do is take a couple knees. And I was like, fucking take a knee. I was like, do not take the chance. We could fumble it. Like, we're girls. We just started. We could fumble it. They could run for a touchdown. They could win this game if he tries to run a stupid play. So I was like, do not run a play. Get on a knee. And I'm yelling this at him, like, in his face. And he was like, sit the fuck down. And so I take off my helmet and I throw it as hard as I can. And it just, like, happens to hit him in the face. And I'm like, fuck you. And I run I just walk off the game. I walk directly into the locker room and I fucking kick the locker room door open. And I'm like, fuming, like, and then I, like, calm myself down. I walk back out there. We, like, had already, like, won the game. I'm like, okay. And then I go back there and be like, sorry, Hack, that wasn't my call. I'm sorry. And we were totally fine after that. But yeah, once in a while, we just kind of erupt at each other.
Oh, fair play. Now, just got a couple of final questions to finish off with. And you mentioned that you've played quite a lot of sports. If there was a sport that you've either not tried or not played yet or not been involved in, what would you like to get involved in?
I think, like, monetarily wise, I wish I would have started playing tennis a long time ago, because if you're a girl, it's the only way you're going to make money. But as far as what I would actually love to play, I think would be rugby. I think I would love, love, love rugby. And when I was over in London, I wish I would have played on the team, because I think I would have liked it. But I ended up playing basketball over there instead.
Is that so, just because of the need and want to kind of hit people? Is that like the same with American football?
Yeah. The idea that you can just, like, use all of your aggression and take it out on someone, and that's allowed. You know, that's not allowed in volleyball, that's not allowed in basketball. To have that sport where it's like, I'm so angry, and take it out on someone else, I think that's what I like about it.
Yeah, a good release, but sort of if you've had a really bad week at work and then you just get to smash someone at the end of it.
Yeah,
but in a controlled manner, of course.
Right, of course.
So if I was to ask you to sell the league in 3 points to some of our newer listeners or some of the what we call the rookie listeners out there, what 3 reasons would you give them to continue watching or start watching the LFL?
Well, I think the first reason that almost everyone gives is, you know, we do play real football. Like, we are real athletes. We really care about the game. It's not like they just throw us out there 7-on-7, like, here, go run around and throw a pass. Like, we have plays. We scout the other team. We spend a lot of time trying to win these games. So this isn't just, like, some girls running around in bikinis. We're playing real football. So that's, like, the number one why you should watch. Obviously, like, we're playing it in our underwear. So that's always a draw. I mean, I always say this to people, like, would this league be what it was if we were in full pads? And, like, absolutely not. Like, there are leagues like that, and they're nothing like this league. You know, they don't get TV deals. It's not going to happen, because there are guys that can always, they're going to do it better than us and faster than us. They're bigger, faster, stronger. They're guys. It's called the NFL. Like, we're never going to be better than them. So, you know, we look pretty good out there. And I actually personally love wearing the uniform. Like, it makes me feel confident. So that's the second reason. And the third reason, I think, is you'll enjoy it. It's just a lot more fun than the NFL leagues let them be. Like, we're allowed to be characters. We're allowed to blow up. We're allowed to get crazy. You know, they let us play. They're not going to call a whole lot of stuff. So I think all those things put together make it a really enjoyable experience to come to games or just even watch on television and just get to know the girls and the characters. Like, it really is a fun league to be a part of.
And I think that showed in some of the Bliss celebrations after touchdowns. There's one I can recall, which I don't know, maybe you'll be able to help explain, but there was a toilet seat celebration. How did that come about?
So, like, we ended up actually stealing all of those from, like, I don't remember which soccer team. It might have been, like, Dutch or something. Like, I don't know, some random, like, soccer team. We had, like, looked up celebration dances after goals. And this one team had, like, a whole bunch of awesome ones. And one of those was, like, the toilet seat. And we're like, oh, my God, like, we totally had to do the toilet seat. Like, this is too funny. So those, disclaimer, none of those, we didn't make any of those up ourselves. We YouTubed some videos and then just kind of copied off of them. But, I mean, they're still hilarious nonetheless.
Absolutely. And if people want to see more celebrations along those lines, they definitely need to tune into yourself and the Bliss this season. And on behalf of all our listeners and myself, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show today, Ali. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You too. Thank you so much for having me. I'll come back anytime.
Thank you very much.
The world's fastest growing sport arrives to YouTube. Legends Football League.
Break their confidence. Keep breaking their confidence. They've got nothing. They want to brawl. They don't want to play football.
Intensity. Beauty. Subscribe to this channel and gain access into locker rooms, inside the huddle.
Every other time they run to the outside and they're fucking getting it.
Get to know your favorite players.
The one thing I want to do is just make everyone happy. Give 100%.
And full-length games in high definition. Subscribe and never miss out on LFL action.
Okay, so now you've all had time to digest the earlier news and listen to the fantastic interview there with the young Ali Alberts. Marcus, what are your thoughts going into next season? And let's bring you back to that season opener between Atlanta Steam and Chicago Bliss in Atlanta.
Woohoo! Finally! Ha! Right, yeah. Oh, I cannot wait. I mean, it's like a month away now. It's fast approaching. And the fact that, you know, to start the season off with basically a championship game rematch. Ah, oh, genius. Absolutely genius. And as an Atlanta fan myself, I just can't wait for it. oh, boo.
Speaking on behalf of the Chicago fans.
Yeah, but it's really interesting to see because, of course, the season, as it kicks off itself, it's just all go because, of course, there's so many more games now. It's not a case of like having one or two a month. We're talking like one a week now.
Yeah, there's even a stage where we get three games in 9 days, and that's in August, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like bang, like first, fifth, ninth, boom. It's like, you can't get enough. Let's just give you a massive LFL sandwich just to just... I'm talking about food again. This is not good.
Yeah, we really need to stop that, don't we? But yeah, I mean, the fixture list is looking mahoosive, which can only be a good thing. Loving the fact there's so many fixtures, one every week, a couple of weeks where there's sort of 2 weeks in between games, but looking like we go all the way through right to August 29th, where they will host the Legends Cup itself. So a bit of an earlier finish than usual this year. That's potentially preempting the move then across because there'll be the second season of LFL Australia, which, as we say, unfortunately got cancelled last year, but they look to go ahead with that this year. So assuming that's probably why there's a slightly earlier finish. But things I'm looking forward to this season, not only that big season opener, but good news for Jessica Hopkins fans like myself that she is actually coming back to Seattle Mist for another season. And we thought towards the end of last year and even said on the podcast that she was retiring, but pleased to say she's actually going to be back in the league again this year. So some more sick one-handed picks and fumble recoveries for touchdowns, no doubt.
If you're a Western Conference fan, you're going to have a little bit more of a wait. You know, keep yourself on tender hooks because I think they don't start until about May, the Western games. Because, of course, you get to just watch the what happens in the East. And, of course, ultimately, you think about how that's going to maybe potentially, you know, the West gets to see how maybe some of the new rule changes work and come into effect. So maybe once we get into May and we see the first game, Las Vegas, in that Coliseum taking on Temptation, Hopefully they're going to just be hitting the ground running and it will be like rocking and raring to go.
Yeah, you're right. Just looking at the schedule myself, Atlanta play four of their games in the first 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah. See, it's going to be an Atlanta fan. They just like giving them to me.
Yeah, and then so come May, there'll be no Steam games until July the 10th.
Oh, that's a long wait.
Do you reckon you'll be able to cope?
I'll be able to cope because there'll be LFL every week, so it won't matter.
But just quickly coming back to Jessica Hopkins, if people want to see the effort that LFL athletes have to put in, if there are some doubters out there that maybe don't think it's a real sport, strongly recommend you check out the link in our show notes to our LFL trailers for this year, one of which does indeed feature Jessica Hopkins and shows you the kind of workouts these players have to go through. It gives you like a little brief insight into the effort and the attitude that these players have towards training and staying fit and maintaining their football skills.
She's the equivalent. I mean, being up in Seattle, LFL's got their own little beast mode up there in Seattle.
Yeah, 100%. So the other thing for me, yeah, we mentioned obviously the battle between the Bliss and Atlanta. That's going to be monstrous, especially with the new addition to the talent there. Now, I was listening to our last podcast earlier, and I do believe I was trying to get you to throw some chips on the table and say whether you thought Chicago were going to go on and get the three-peat this year, but you said, oh, I'm not going to answer it now, but maybe when we start our podcast next year, I'll throw some chips on the table and come up with some predictions. So my question to you, Marcus, have you come up with some predictions?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to do that. You know, I like to sometimes like throw those chips down and put my money where my mouth is. Doesn't always get me anywhere, but we'll soon see.
Go for it then, my friend. Do it. Hit us with some predictions.
Well, I think what with the range of talent going outside, the return of the Biz, I definitely see the Temptation storming up the Western Conference. And you know what? With all the new talent, I think with the way that things are going to come together in Atlanta, I think they look just so powerful. I mean, we'll have to see how everyone else, I mean, yeah, they've released what their veterans are doing, but I'd like to see what the Bliss and what the Heart can throw at them. But you know what? I'm going to back my own team. I'm going to sit there and go, you know, Dakota's going to see us through with all that talent around her, storming defense as well. Yeah, I like Atlanta to go back to the championship. And this time, take their championship. Yes, bring it on.
So what you're telling me right now is that Atlanta Steam are going to beat Los Angeles Temptation in the Legends Cup final.
You heard it here first.
Ooh. Wow. Now that is definitely the Marcus equivalent of the NFL's bold predictions right there. Marshall Faulk, Warren Sapp, if you're listening, that, my friends, is a bold prediction right there. Not sure that I share your sentiments apart from Los Angeles getting back there. But to see, for me to see a Los Angeles-Chicago Bliss Legends Cup final would be a great achievement. But hopefully it's going to be a lot closer. There's obviously a lot of new rookies that are going to come through into the teams in the West there in Seattle. And we've mentioned before about the talent they have in Las Vegas. So let's focus on them a little bit now. So we have Cindy Cummings in her second year, Marky Henderson, you've got Cynthia Schmidt as well. So, you know, I think the Sin, they're not going to be one to be written off that easily, I don't think.
This is what I like. I mean, it sounds weird, but I thought I wouldn't like the sort of condensing of it down to so little teams. But you know what? It makes the focus on the talent pool so critical. And the fact that now with more games, it doesn't mean that, you know, if you let her have a bad game, it kills you off. Because the fact is, you know, you're going to be playing probably the... So, okay, you lose, say, we use Las Vegas LA game, the May game, as an example. Say Vegas lose that, it doesn't matter. They're going to be coming back and they're going to have another two goes to try and, like, beat down on the Temptation. And I like that because now it means that you can sit there, have that bad game, come back and live to fight another day. Doesn't mean you're down and out with one loss. I really like that.
And yeah, do you know what? They're going to have plenty of time to recover from it if they did lose as well. Same with Los Angeles again. If they lost to Las Vegas, then they've got a month in between their first two games. So they'll have plenty of time to recover should they need to.
Yeah, and you know what? All that time in between just makes the rivals more bitter. It means more intensity, more harder hits, bigger, better touchdowns.
Yeah. liking your star there, my friend, liking your star. But again, I say, let's just focus more on these receivers. Now, from what we saw of Cynthia Schmidt last year, I don't know about you, mate, but I've seen, a little bit of this around the leagues and on Facebooks and things, but she really is positioning herself to be like a Megatron receiver.
Yeah, it's that clutch, catching all positions, all coverage, that sort of get out of jail free receiver that, you know, I think every quarterback wants a get out of jail free receiver. Also, the fact is the speed to stretch the field, really like that. I think that was the thing that really sort of blew you away, is how quickly they could get down the field and just recover from, oh, you've scored in us, ready, one play, boom, score, thank you. And that's almost invaluable, to just be able to certainly kill any momentum another team makes on you.
Absolutely. So were there any other players that you were looking forward to seeing again this year?
I must admit, with the mist, I'm kind of interested to see how Rippon does again, because it's, for me, it's a question of, do they still put the faith in her? Is she still the franchise there? And again, I like to see, talking about quarterbacks, going back to the heart and seeing, you know, have they shored up their sort of QB carousel almost? Because we've got some real definitive quarterbacks in this league now, some real names being made. It's really these only two teams that haven't got that franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but I think for me, Omaha does have that. If they give the opportunity to Lindsay Noble, Lindsay Noble has shown that with enough reps and with enough practice, I think she could be their franchise quarterback going forward, because she manages the game for them. And we've seen how great Ashley Lambrecht is at actually running with the ball. So they can have a great threat with Ashley at running back and then use Lindsay to manage the game. And that you could almost model them on Chicago, because they've got a great defense. If they can get Lambert hitting the ground running and then just use Noble just to kind of do a couple of quick little screen passes or slant routes, things like that, just to keep the offense ticking, and then they could end up having a really successful year this year.
April 18th, I think the second game is Atlanta Omaha, and it's at the farm. You've got all the advantage there to really sort of put that in place. And you know what? It's been a long off season, so it'd be great to see you. What have you done with this time? You know.
Yeah, very true. And just finally, actually, it's almost like you read my mind a little while ago when you were talking about Seattle and Angela Rippon. I have actually in my notes, have Seattle found an efficient quarterback as Creel was, because it still mesmerizes me why she's not. I'm sure there's going to be valid reasons why Laurel Creel's not playing for the Mist anymore, but. That was the first year we watched it, wasn't it? When she was quarterback, Seattle went undefeated, and she was possibly the best quarterback in the league that year.
So many points. They were just point machine, weren't they? I mean, Seattle, it was just like, how many points were they scored this week?
And I think, yeah, because they were either top or they were second to Annie Erler at Green Bay. So,
I mean, that was it. When we saw them go the whole undefeated regular season with that many points, I think it was a case of just, you know, could someone stop them?
Yeah, but unfortunately for them, when the big game came forward, it was Los Angeles that stepped up, wasn't it? But all in all, I think all the talent that we remember from last year, player-wise, it's just getting us really, really excited about this upcoming season. Is there any other fixtures in the list there, Marcus, that you think you can't wait for?
The fact is, I just love the idea that there's three sets of them. You know, it's not just the play each other once now. I do really want to get into the sort of the latter stages of the schedule. I really can't wait for some of the like August games, which are probably going to be like playoff deciders and stuff like that. But the first couple of games, we just get back to LFL business. It's like we're all suffering that withdrawal syndrome. You know, we got to that point of the year where NFL's gone, withdrawal's kicking in. Oh, what am I going to do? Here comes the NFL to just brighten our day as those April showers kick in, you know, pick us up.
Yeah, thinking of April showers, Chicago outside in April, that's going to be interesting to watch as well. But looking at the schedule, it opens and closes with that Chicago Bliss Atlanta Steam fixture.
Oh, I did not. Oh, I've just seen that. August 15th. Oh, what a doozy.
In Toyota Park to potentially decide which of them goes to the playoffs.
See, this is why, I mean, I love the whole, you know, start of the season. But when you get to the end of the season, you're really like playing for your survival. Those games are just ferocious.
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable. And from both of us, I know we absolutely can't wait for the season to start. I wish it started tomorrow, if I'm completely honest with you.
Spanhead Productions are a small independent sound recording company based in rural Hertfordshire. We specialise in creating content for all your podcasting needs, whether it be field recordings, Vox Pops, or capturing the atmosphere during social events. Editing is a very time-consuming job, so Spanhead Productions are on hand to take away some of the burden for you. Just advise us on how you'd like your content to sound, and we will do the rest. We can even help you design and manage a website for your podcast too. Visit us now, spanheadproductions.weebly.com. That's spanheadproductions.weebly.com.
That rounds it up for this pre-season episode of LFL Talk. But just before we go, wanted to let you know not to fear, although we're over a month away before the start of the season, we are hoping to come back to you with another episode of the podcast before the season starts, because there was a bit of news I apologise that I didn't include in our earlier segment, and that is that the final rosters are actually released on March the 23rd. So we aim to be back to you with another episode before the start of the season, where we can confirm the final rosters and any other interesting signings some of the teams may make. Remembering that season start date is the 11th of April in Atlanta, as they host the defending champions, the Chicago Bliss. Remember,
hey guys, if you want to get a hold of Audrey or Marcus, send them an email at fowlhawksnest@gmail.com.
Also, we have some trailers we've put together for this upcoming season of the LFL, which you can see exclusively on our YouTube channel, so be sure to check that out, a link to which is in the show notes. Also, we have our Women of the Gridiron page, which has a selection of videos from the LFL's YouTube page, which is some of our favourite LFL The Story episodes. Again, a link to that will be in the show notes. Our podcasts are downloadable on iTunes, also Stitcher Radio, and our more recent shows are rebroadcast on the 1800 Online Network and Awake Radio. Okay, Marcus, as always, my friend, it's been an absolute pleasure, and welcome back to the LFL.
Oh, so good to be back.
Excellent. And until next time, football fans, stay safe, take care, and thanks for stopping by.